question before the joint committee is Executive Order Number 75. Each respective committee has, I presume, discussed this. I'm familiar with the Senate discussions. I'm not familiar with the text of the House discussions, so I'll turn that question over to Mr. Donnelly.
We have discussed this. The committee agreed to sponsor the executive order, which basically put it on the table as a vehicle that we could conduct this hearing with, pursuant to the uniform rules.
Speaking for the Senate side, we've talked informally, and there is a significant concern over the changing of the name of the Alaska Power Authority. It's my understanding that the House has some concern over the text of the proposed changes in the executive order. However, the Senate has passed this language previously, but again, the major concern is the changing of the name, and I concur. I think that is an error.
The House has not identified the name change as a particular matter of concern up to this time. There may be discussion in the committee on that issue today. There has been expressions from House leadership that they are interested in holding a joint session to take up the executive order in joint session.
If the Senate is concerned about the name change being made, and the House is concerned about the text of the bill, it would seem that we are ripe for a joint session on this topic. Would you prepare to make a motion?
We have one witness, Mr. Chairman. I guess they don't wish to testify, but we do have Mr. LaResh here from the Alaska Power Authority. The committee wish to ask questions.
Bob, would you please join us?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Boucher.
Why the name change?
Fair enough.
Representative Boucher, members of the committee, I've included three or four documents that are sitting on top of your stuff here.
One of these, the third one in the pile, is a letter from the governor, which there was this stuff on top of it, which went to all the members of the Energy Policy Task Force. Now, this whole thing arose as a recommendation of this Energy Policy Task Force, which the governor created and you funded 3 years ago. The task force met for a year and included a lot of good thoughts from Senator Coghill and Representative Brown, primarily. There were two other legislators on it as well. And it made several recommendations to the governor. The governor responded to these recommendations with the letter. You have a copy of the one that went to me. And in this letter, he told the members of who had served on the task force what he intended to do in response to their recommendations. You'll see number 4 on page 2 of that letter, and number 5 discusses the name change and the reasons for it. Basically, the task force suggested that the Power Authority adopt an integrated resource planning type philosophy and guiding principle for its future efforts. That's the same thing as least cost planning, which you've heard talked about, I'm sure. And it describes what it means, a shift from project-specific feasibility studies to more comprehensive planning with increased emphasis on the management of demand rather than just the creation of generation. And then he goes on to say, number 5, recognition of these changes in emphasis and policy, he suggests a name change. And that's really all of it, symbolic of a slightly altered direction that the governor has ordered us to take. That's the reason for the change.
Other questions for Mr. LaResh?
Just so I understand how the, refresh my memory on how the revolving loan fund now works, but the repayments come into the general fund and we reappropriate them generally back to the fund for specific projects in the capital budget or the reappropriations bill.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boyer, no. I've also included two sort of simplified spreadsheets, one of which you on the Finance Committee have seen before. Basically, what happens is that this fund was established 4 or 5 years years ago, as a vehicle through which the loan portion of the 4GM pool construction costs were passed to the power authority. And since that time, all revenues into the fund, that is primarily the money paid by the 4GM pool communities for the power for these projects, have been appropriated or have been placed in the fund, and then in every case been reappropriated out of the fund the following year into the general fund and used for whatever the legislature in its wisdom wanted to use them for.
Some of those having been power projects, though, subsequent power projects, or not?
Some, yes. But again, once it's reappropriated to the general fund, it's not yellow or orange dollars, it's fungible funds, and then the certain spots appropriate back. The first sheet here shows you how much money has come back to the general fund through the power development revolving loan fund. Basically, $65 million has been returned to the general fund already. The balance, in cash balance, as we sit here today, is about $400,000, but there's still an appropriation outstanding of almost $2 million against the fund, so that $400,000 will go into the general fund along with the rest of that balance. Power Authority has never used a cent out of that fund without appropriation, with one exception. And this is an important thing if you consider changing how these monies flow. We set aside, basically at the requirement of the Division of Risk Management, because of the power sales agreement, $6.5 million insurance reserve, which is in the corpus of the Power Development Fund, but is set aside as an insurance reserve to cover deductibles on all the four dams and their mechanical equipment, and to cover insurance on the transmission lines for which commercial insurance is just not available. We did draw $1.5 million from that insurance reserve to fix the Sullivan Gulf slide, which we're required by contract to do. That will be repaid through interruptible power sales over the next three and a half years. But let me point out that the money that's gone to the general fund has greatly exceeded that that's been paid back to the power development fund from debt service. We were able to settle the construction claim on the Tai'i project for $6 million, 60% of which went directly into the general fund, 40% went into the power development fund because it was required by the contract. That's available for reappropriation. There's investment income of $700,000 to $1 million a year that the Department of Commerce has been making on that fund. That's going back into the general fund. And as I say, we appropriated all of the power sales payments every year, generally ahead of time. Really, the only change in moving this to the Power Authority, basically it makes it more efficient. They count on us to keep the books for it anyway. We're the ones that tell the legislature every year what's available for reappropriation. Department of Commerce takes $34,000 a year to write 20 figures in their ledger book to keep the books on this thing. Certainly, I see no reason to continue that. The Power Authority will be charged for keeping this simple set of books. And basically now, if I wanted to do what some of you are afraid that a person might want to do, I could go flim-flam the Commissioner of Commerce and borrow $100,000 for some rural project. That's all I have to do. Under the executive order, I have to convince four cabinet members, including the director of OMB. So basically, the thing's a lot safer when it's under the Power Authority Board of Directors than it is under the Commissioner of Commerce. But that wasn't the reason for it by any stretch of the imagination. It was just to make things a little more organized, take another layer of people who are sitting over there making $34,000 a year to keep books.
But doesn't it change the way, I mean, now we get the repayments, now we get the income, and the executive order, you'll get it all?
No. Now, Representative Boyer, the fund gets it all, and you've taken it all every year, which is as it should be.
Right, but now the fund will get it all.
In the future, the fund will get it. No, the fund gets it all right now. It has since the fund was established.
But we get it through a reappropriations process.
Right.
Now it looks like the fund gets it, and we don't get it through a reappropriations process.
No.
That's what I'm asking. It's still available.
It doesn't change anything in the. The only thing that changes is where the fund sits legally and who controls the fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Donnelly.
The question that's raised in the memorandum from legislative legal counsel is the question of encumbering a fund. If the money was appropriated by the legislature, the memorandum indicates that then under this executive order, the power authority could subsequently encumber the funds even after we had appropriated them. I was wondering if you were familiar with that issue.
That's not the way I read that memorandum. I thought it was concerned about us encumbering them before you had a chance to reappropriate it. Which is the case now. All I can say is we've never done it. It'd be even harder to do it if you had to go through the power plant board of directors. I think you're at work smashing in open doors, really. I don't see the problem.
Okay, so you're just saying that that's the status quo now, and then the Kramer memorandum on page 3, the final paragraph, says that if the APA encumbers the revenue stream from the power development revolving loan fund before the effective date of an appropriation completing the fund, the encumbrance would defeat the appropriation to the extent of the amount obligated. If the project were one that fell within the exemption to legislative review, the APA could finance its acquisition or construction without prior legislative approval.
That's absolutely true, and it is as we speak today. It doesn't change with the executive board at all.
In fact, that's what happened here a year or so ago, and it seemed to me I recall using about $6 million or something, $7 million, which kind of turning them around in projects or something through them by using the window opportunity.
No, we've never used a cent of this one. We've always left it there and suggested that you're doing broken keys.
Senator Cogdell.
Thank you, Chairman. On page 4 of the executive order, section 4483530, definition, in AS 43500 and 85 83530, 1, fund means the power development revolving loan fund. 2, power projects means a project acquired or constructed under the Energy Program of Alaska. Is that statute right now, Bob? Is that the way that reads? Or is
yes.
That energy projects a new verbiage?
No, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cogdell, all of these words here are just the law as it reads now. The only changes that have been made is changing the Department of Commerce to Alaska Power Authority.
And changing the name from Alaska Power Authority to Alaska Energy Authority.
Yeah.
My problem with it, Mr. Chairman, is that it broadens the scope way beyond energy, way beyond the power structure or the electrical power structure that APA was conceived under. What we're doing is that we're broadening it to the point where we're really going to duplicate a lot of things that CRNA is doing, and you're not tying it down. In fact, it's going to even make it a bigger nightmare for you.
Mr. Chairman,
because it makes a new perception of it.
Yeah, and it's a symbolic change to create a new perception. That's what it's for.
So what we're doing here is basically is that we're creating an energy authority no longer is it a power authority.
That's correct, and that was done in order to point out that the power authority in the future will look at various ways of meeting energy demand other than just generation. As urged on us by a majority of the task force.
But let me just point out that this executive order, all these words are just copied from the statute. Nobody's rewriting the statute at all.
The question before us is whether we wish to have a joint session to disapprove this, whether there's the degree of comfort with the existing document, or whether this joint committee wishes to call upon our colleagues on both sides to hold a joint session for approval or disapproval of this. What is the feeling of the committee on that point?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just heard Bob, you know, and I apologize for not having looked at this stuff ahead of time, but if I just heard you right, you said that it does nothing to change the current statute, with the exception of the name change, the perception change, that all of the powers and responsibilities and duties remain the same as they are without the executive order.
That's correct.
But, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that,
well, there's a... It takes it from Department of Commerce,
right,
and puts it solely within APA. So it does have that substantive change.
I understand, but it doesn't diminish the prerogative of the legislature to either make reappropriations of the fund or to, you know, for those dollars to accrue to the general fund some way or another.
It neither diminishes that nor enlarges that.
Mr. Boucher, that's under your face.
Well, should we have a joint session? I mean, that was a question you kind of asked. Let me tell you, no, from my point of view, simply because of distraction. I could see all kinds of things coming out of this in a joint session. I mean, it'd be kind of like a special session when we would veto him, but you could be shooting all over the place, and I think the direction that we are headed right now in developing a budget, I mean, I think this is the 57th day, that if this was a simple up or down thing and you could control both bodies, I see all kinds of questions I could make on this. So I'll ask for
up. It has to be up or down. You can't amend it. You can't amend an executive order. It's neither an up or down.
Well, I understand if we go to that particular thing. You know, but I should, I am not as up to speed as I should be, and I agree with you through the chair, that energy, we could gas pipeline, garbage creating, methanol, right. And maybe that's... is good, maybe it's bad. I don't have a firm opinion on that, but which obviously requires more people, requires more study, requires more dollars. So I would be concerned about that. But I just happen to think within these two bodies, that we ought to be able to address and solve the problem. And I do not recall, and maybe my senior here can refresh my memory, had they ever gone into joint session to accomplish this particular effort?
Not to my knowledge.
Yes, right. So let's take a look at what we're
plow
doing.
Plow new ground.
Huh?
Plow new ground.
Yeah, well, we better plow some old ground before we plow new ground. My answer is I would strenuously object to that course of action to solve a problem that I think can be solved between these two committees. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fakes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't like the name change because I don't like the specific focus. But that's the philosophy of the administration. I mean, that you read the governor's transmittal letter, and that's the way he wants to go. And so you'd have to be sure that we had 31 votes to undo that in a special joint session. I don't know if that's there. I don't know if anybody's made a head count. Through the chair of Representative Boyer, the way I see it is right now, technically, and Mr. Rash, correct me if I'm wrong, the Commissioner of Commerce has a veto over what the Power Authority might want to do in their budget or presenting things to the legislature. But because the Power Authority Board is made up of 4 out of 7 administrative cabinet makers, basically the administration of the governor calls the shots on that board, the Commissioner of Commerce isn't effectively generating a veto either way on anything the Power Authority does. But in statute, the commissioner has that responsibility. This just eliminates that step, which isn't being taken right now, and nobody's doing that, but it eliminates that in statute. Is that a fair representation?
Insofar as this fund's concerned, Senator Fakes, that's right.
Great. Mr. Donnelly?
Mr. Chairman, I'd suggest that I think the question before the committee is not whether or not they have a joint session, and I would hope that that's not the issue that's presented.
That was a question he asked.
I understand, but my suggestion would be that the question is whether or not we feel as a joint committee we disapprove of the executive orders, and just leave it to the presiding officers whether they think it's significant enough to call a joint session. I mean, that would be my suggestion.
Point well taken. Mr. Goldberg.
Yeah, I don't seem to have a copy of the transmittal letter. So I don't know if
it's in you. It should be in your file down at the bottom.
Oh, this thing?
Mm-hmm. That's the governor's. He's the governor's signed by Cooper.
Yeah.
And that's the letter to the Power Authority Board as to what the governor wants done on this entire.
Oh, I thought it was a transmittal letter to the
legislature. No, it is. It's very short. It's only 1 page. But this is telling the Power Authority with the pieces of the recommendation from the Governor's Energy Task Force, in which Senator Coghill and I had the privilege of serving on. These are the Governor picking out those parts that he particularly liked and directing Mr. Oresh and the board to follow through on that, those particular policy calls that they can now do within their statutory authority but have not been doing. And this is a menu or a recipe book of how he sees the power authority now behaving. It doesn't require many statute changes. It requires a different philosophy or political direction of the power authority.
Rename it.
Yeah. And the rename was generated from the task force, and they want the power authority to be energy-related, not just a construction company doing generation. They want it to look at conservation, least cost analysis before anything's done, the entire state versus doing a little project. If you want to do a little grid between Tyee and Haines, say, you couldn't do it unless you gave an EIS-type statement on the entire state of Alaska and its energy program and how it fits in. And they don't want any more generation built until the demand is there. In other words, there's no advanced planning. Yeah, I'm simplifying this a little bit, and I apologize to those people if I'm way off base. Somebody correct me. But what the focus would be on least cost analysis is that you have to have identified a demand, an X amount of demand, to justify that power generation, rather than on Bradley saying that demand will be there in 10 years or 20 years. So there's no more pre-building prior to the demand being identified and concrete.
Senator Coghill?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think that the Senator Fainsey kind of hit the nail on the head, is that when we got into this task force, why we got a peek into what is contained in Pandora's box. I mean, it just went completely, and that's what I'm concerned about, changing the power authority name, and it's an authority to energy authority, that it might just be a wheel that has no brake on it, and it'll fly apart, and we'll have some real messes on our hands, because we'll start out in areas that will paralyze what we're trying to do with power. And I think that the other thing, Mr. Chairman, is that the reason why the Commissioner of Commerce had veto power over it, because when it was originally set out, it was set out as a true authority, and two governors ago politicized it by putting two more commissioners on it, which then negated that veto power thing. So that's really how that all came together, just so that there's some background on it. But I feel like the Chairman Donnelly, that we should have a consensus, or we should have a vote on it, how we want to do it, and then leave it up to the presiding officer. Personally, if we can turn it down and say we don't mind the text to it and the concept behind it, as long as you keep the power authority name there, I think that it contains it to the purpose that the power authority was actually conceived. Mr. Boucher?
Well, what about another route? How much dialogue has there been between the executive branch and these two committees on some of the objections that are coming up? What attempt has there been made for some bridge building here?
It's either up or down. Right?
Yeah, well, I understand everything's up or down, but you know as well as I do, Jack, that anything can be negotiated. You can sit down and solve problems or polarize a thing as we tend to do around here. So, my question is, Executive Order, no, what's being done to bridge this obvious gap here?
Mr. Donnelly.
Up or down.
Representative Boucher, we did have several meetings with Mary Halloran, who was representing the governor in this matter, trying to get at the real heart of the problem, which was this problem of the money not going back into the general fund and potentially skipping legislative oversight.
Mm-hmm.
They pointed out to us that the governor did introduce legislation 2 years ago that would do that. It apparently was passed by both bodies, but a conference committee couldn't reach a resolution on it. So we asked them, well, would you be willing to introduce that legislation again? Because that seems to be one of the other major concerns other than the name and the direction of the authority. They said no, but they wouldn't oppose it if it was introduced by the legislature. And Mary's upstairs in the budget, I guess, summit and isn't available.
Well, she's available now. So it just came down.
The question before us
I've raised the threshold from the concession question to, and I think Representative Donnelly's correct. Does the committee feel strongly enough about the content of the executive to recommend anything to our respective presiding officers, Mr. Boyer?
What's the timeline? It must be obviously
Wednesday.
We've not had a formal hearing. We've not had a formalized hearing process on the issues.
We have in the Senate.
You have in the Senate.
Yes. We have not. Well, this is, right. That's what this serves as a function for the uniform rules. The way I see uniform rules, we're having a joint hearing on HSCR1, which is a resolution to disapprove the executive order, and it'd be appropriate for us either to take some action on the resolution, whether we don't approve of the resolution or if we do approve of the resolution. The resolution itself doesn't reach any conclusions on the executive order. It's simply, the way it's drafted now, simply says is there's seven other bills before the legislature this time dealing with power authority, and it raises significant questions, and that we haven't had time to fully examine the issues raised by Executive Order 75. So that's what the resolution says.
But the resolution disapproves.
Right. If we were to, as a committee, take a position that we supported the resolution, then we just make that recommendation to the presiding officers, pass it on, and be up to them to make a decision about whether or not to hold the joint session. Senator Bakes.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, and I kind of could go almost either way on this thing, but what are we accomplishing? The governor can do his philosophy change without the name change. The governor can. I mean, it's in this letter, and he wants the power authority to move in a slightly different direction, and they can do that right now today. You don't have to have a name change to do those things, do you?
Senator Fakes, Mr. Chairman, what are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, what would we be accomplishing by having the joint session then? I mean, I don't think there's no significant financial changes in how they're doing it. There are some things in the statute none of us like, so one of us should introduce a bill and move it to correct that. The governor's not changing anything here. We on the Senate side don't like the name. Okay, maybe somebody doesn't like my name. But the point is, we don't like the name because we don't like the direction. He doesn't need our permission to change the direction. So I think I don't think we're going to accomplish anything.
There are more important problems facing state government. Is there a motion from anyone at this joint meeting to recommend to the either presiding officer that we take any action in disapproving this? And hearing no motion, the committee's adjourned.